We are so, so blessed. Blessed to be here this morning. Blessed to be in fellowship with one another. Blessed to be in fellowship with Christ. And blessed to be able to celebrate the gift, the great gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, gift giving is a major part of most people's celebrations of Christmas. I mean, who does not like to get good gifts? I remember as a child, we were very poor. But my mother was determined that Christmas Day would be very, very special. And so we would wake up Christmas morning, we would come out, and there would be so many presents under the tree, you'd just make your head spin. Now, you know, it might have been socks, might have been shirts, might have been a box of cereal that you liked. I mean, it might have been, you know, various things. Nothing expensive, because we couldn't afford it. But they wanted to make that an experience, so that when you opened that door and you came into that room, you know, you'd be like, wow, you know, Santa came, right? And so, you know, gift giving is an integral part of the way that most people celebrate Christmas. And of course, the first gift giving associated with the birth of Jesus was the gift of the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that was brought by the Magi from the east, following that star. And these gifts, as we know, enabled Joseph and Mary to take Jesus to Egypt to protect him from King Herod. But gift-giving at Christmas really began to be something that more people did after 350 AD, which was when the church decided that the birth of Jesus would be celebrated in December each year. In what is today called Turkey, there was a young Christian bishop named Nicholas. He was raised in the faith by wealthy parents, but his parents then died in an epidemic. And Nicholas began to use his inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and especially needy children. At first, he did this incognito, giving gifts to children around the time of the celebration of Christmas. But soon, his generosity and his gift-giving became known to others. His acts of kindness soon spread to others in his country, and then across Europe, and eventually throughout the world. Bishop Nicholas would one day be given the title of Saint Nicholas, or Saint Nick, as some like to call him. And the rest, of course, is history. Today, I want us to focus our attention not on Saint Nicholas, but on the greatest giver of gifts and on the greatest gifts ever given. Who might that be? God Himself, the one who gives to us the most perfect gifts. So please open your Bibles to James chapter 1, where we will see what James has to say about this great gift giver. Now, this will not be our text. We're going to look at various passages of Scripture this morning, but I want to start with this. So James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. If you're able, why don't you stand as we read this text? James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, again, I just thank you for this opportunity for us to gather here today to worship you and to give thanks to you for the great and perfect gifts that you have given to us. So bless us now, I pray. Open our hearts to receive from you what you have to say to your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I preached through the book of James. Actually, quite a few years ago. And in the first 12 verses of this letter, James was teaching on the subject of trials. Trials that test our faith and produce steadfastness in true believers. And then in verse 13 through 15, James states categorically that God will never tempt anyone to do evil or to sin. Instead, we are tempted by our own sinful desires. Then in our text, James tells us that rather than tempting us, our God gives to us every good and perfect gift. James uses two different Greek words here for gift. One emphasizes the act of giving, and the other the gift itself. Everything related to God's divine giving is good, complete, and beneficial to those who receive them. And James uses an ancient Jewish expression for God as creator, calling him the Father of lights, indicating that he is the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars. James also declares the unchanging nature of God. With him, there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So forever, he is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. This includes giving life and breath to all living creatures and giving incredible gifts of grace to all he has chosen for salvation through his own Son, Jesus. So today, I want to focus on four of the good and perfect gifts given to us by our Heavenly Father. We could preach a whole series of messages on all of the gifts that God has given us. Amen? But I want to focus on these four: God's own Son, salvation through God's Son, God's own Spirit, and God's own love through God's own Spirit. These are the greatest gifts ever given and should be received with joy and thanksgiving and be used to serve others for the glory of God. So let's start with the gift of God's own Son, who we call Jesus, because that was his name. And Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the reason for the Christmas season. Amen? It is the celebration of the greatest gift ever given, the gift of God's own begotten Son. It is the fulfillment of many prophecies, as we heard last Sunday, but one in particular that I want to remind you of, a prophecy given 600 years before he was born. We find that also in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we read these words: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What a gift! God the Father sent God the Son into this world to fully reveal God to us and to provide salvation and eternal life for all who believe in him and receive him. What a gift. The Apostle John writes about this in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was the long-promised Messiah or Savior. He was the one who would bring deliverance and salvation to his people. He was the one who would establish his kingdom upon the earth. The eternal Son of God took on human flesh and dwelt among sinful men. He lived a perfect, sinless life, a life that we could not live, earning for us perfect righteousness. Then, as the spotless Lamb of God, he laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sin. He became the propitiation, the guilt and wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins. How amazing is that? John will later write in his first letter, 1 John, in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he will write these words. In this is the love of God made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not that we loved God because we didn't. We were not born lovers of God. We were born sinners by nature, rebellers against God, lovers of self. But God loved us, and he gave his only begotten Son so that we might know him, so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might have eternal life. The greatest gift ever given is the gift of God's Son. It is right that we should celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we must not forget why he was born of a virgin in that little town of Bethlehem. He came as a gift from the Father to save his people from their bondage to sin and to cause them to be born again to eternal life. So, in my estimation, salvation through God's own Son is the greatest gift that we can be given. It begins with the giving of the Son, but it's followed with the salvation that comes through the Son. Remember that God created man to glorify him and enjoy him forever. That is our purpose. But man chose instead to rebel against his Creator and to sin against God by breaking his commandment. And because of sin, death entered into the world, both physical death and spiritual death. But God, as I said in the Sunday school class this morning, already had a plan to deal with the sin of man, a plan that would break the curse of sin and death for all who receive the gift of God's own Son. So the Son was sent to secure our salvation. And that is a gift from God. And that's exactly what the Scripture tells us. Listen to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I shared that verse with someone yesterday. And this young man, who is a Christian, said that he had never understood this concept of the wages of sin being something that we earn. Remember, wages are something we earn, right? Something we work for. It's not a gift. You don't go to your boss and say, hey, you know, I'm a hard worker, give me $1,000. The boss is going to say, well, where's your time card? Where's those hours, right? You got to earn your pay. Well, the Scripture here tells us that in our lost sinful state, we were earning something, all right. We were earning wrath. We were storing up God's wrath that was due for our sins. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of salvation and eternal life has been provided by God for all who believe and receive the Son of God who died in our place to make this free gift possible. Someone had to pay the price for this free gift. And that someone was Jesus, God's own Son. A passage you're very familiar with, Romans 3:23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Incredible. Incredible. I deserved nothing from God except wrath and eternal punishment for my sin. That's what I deserved because I fell short of His glorious perfection. But I have been justified as a gift, a free gift, through the redemption that Jesus Christ Himself earned for me. God sent His Son, put Him forward, so that He would be that atoning sacrifice. And we receive that as a gift. Unfortunately, some refuse that gift. They refuse to receive it. They remain in their trespasses and sins. But for those of us that have received it by faith, we are then saved. God's own Son gave His life for us. He became our wrath-removing sacrifice, and He has provided us with justification through His shed blood. But it must be received by faith. And we call that faith saving faith. So for any of us to actually receive the gift of salvation, resulting in eternal life, we must have saving faith in Jesus Christ. Well, where does that faith come from? Well, I can tell you this. Left unto ourselves, you and I would never choose to repent of our sins and believe in Christ. Instead, we would do as billions of people have done, just continue in our sinful ways and ignore these perfect gifts God has given to us. But God the Father did not wait for us. He took the initiative because of His great love for us. He caused us to be born again. He caused us to repent and trust in His own Son for salvation by giving to us the gift of saving faith. Saving faith is a gift. Listen to the Apostle Paul once again. Another familiar passage, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. And you might say to me, well, Pastor Steve, I know that passage very well. Praise God, I'm glad you do. I want to remind you that you're here today by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And I want to encourage you to give thanks to God for that. Don't take that for granted. Don't ever forget that your salvation is a gift from God. God has given us to His own Son. And His Son has given His life to provide salvation for us, which is then given to us by the Father, who even gives us the saving faith to believe and receive the gift of salvation. But that is not all. God also gives to us His own Spirit to indwell us and empower us to live to glorify Him. God has given His own Spirit to indwell all who repent and trust in Jesus for their salvation. Peter says this in Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This was the fulfillment of a promise that was made by Jesus on the night before He died on the cross. When Jesus said to His disciples in John 14, starting in verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you." The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is to be our helper. And Jesus said He will be another helper, another of the same kind. In other words, fully God, just as Jesus was fully God. And fully committed to pleasing and glorifying God. And so committed to helping us to live for God and to do the work that God has called us to. Note that the world neither sees Him nor knows Him. He can't be known except through God revealing Him to us. He's a gift from the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit dwells in everyone who trusts in Jesus for salvation. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He brings the Word of God to life. He gives us understanding. The Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance. I had an opportunity to witness to somebody a couple of days ago, and the Holy Spirit did His work, brought things to my remembrance to be able to share. You've experienced this, I know, at times. And the Holy Spirit also gives us an assurance of our salvation. We know that we are the children of God because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You've heard me say, "I know in my knower that I am say that I am a child of God." We can be confident because the Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Spirit of God empowers us to live for Christ to the glory of God. And of course, the Holy Spirit also gives to us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Those are a result of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and producing in us that fruit, which is the character qualities of Christ Himself. The Holy Spirit produced those in Jesus, and He produces those same things in us. So our Heavenly Father has given us some marvelous, good, and perfect gifts. God so loved us that He gave us His own Son. He gave us salvation through His Son. He gave us His own Spirit. But God has also given us His own love through God's own Spirit. He has poured His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what Paul writes in Romans 5:5, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that idea of being poured there, that Greek verb is in the perfect tense, indicating a completed action in the past that has an ongoing, continuous effect. So God poured his love into our hearts when the Holy Spirit indwelt us, and that love continues to impact our lives. Now, we're talking here about divine love. We're talking about agape love, not the love of the world, but the love that comes from God. The love that allows us to love God and to love others, even those who are hard to love. You know who I'm talking about, right? Because all of us know some who are hard to love. They are not lovely, and they are not necessarily lovable. Neither were we before God poured his love upon us. Agape love is an unconditional love. It's a love with which we can love even those people that we don't necessarily like. We can love them because God has poured his love into our heart. The Apostle John writes about this love, as we heard earlier, in chapter 4 of his first letter to the church. I want to read a few more of those verses. So in 1 John chapter 4, I want to read from 7 down through 11. We'll have some of that on the screen for you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Think about that. Love is from God. It's a gift from God. It's given to us through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And so when we have this love, we know that we have been born of God, because that's the only way we can have this kind of love. I was speaking to somebody a few days ago about how amazing it is that when we meet another Christian, brother or sister, there's a bond almost instantly when we find out they're believers. There's a bond there that's unexplainable through any worldly reasoning. It's because our spirit bears witness with their spirit, because guess what? The Holy Spirit dwells in me and dwells in them. And there's this connection immediately that happens. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. He goes on, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has been made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So, if God himself is the source of divine unconditional love, and he is, and he has poured his love into our hearts, he has done that so that we can love him and others to the praise of his glory. John tells us that his love was the motivation for the sending of his Son, and it was the motivation for Jesus to suffer as an atoning sacrifice for us. Beloved, if God went to such lengths to love us, we should also sacrificially love others. And we can, because God has poured his love into our hearts. I can't love someone in this way, in myself, But I can love someone this way because God's Spirit dwells within me and His love has been poured into my heart. It's a gift. So we have seen that our Father in heaven has given us good and perfect gifts. How then should we respond? How should we respond to these perfect gifts given from above? Well, we should receive them, we should give thanks to God for them, and we should use them in serving others, that in everything God would be glorified. This is important. You know, one of the things that I remember from childhood and even adulthood is that my mother used to give some strange gifts. Sometimes she would give you a gift and you'd be like, what is this? Why did she give it to me? Right? And those are the gifts that would get put on a shelf somewhere, you know, maybe in the garage. And they'd probably go in a box to the Redwood Gospel Mission a few years later, right? Because it wasn't something that we needed. These gifts that God has given to us, He didn't give them to us so we could put them on a shelf. He gave them to us so that we would receive them, so that we would give thanks to Him for them, and then we would use them for His glory. And so I want us to look at this just briefly. First, we must receive them, and we receive them by faith, as we've already said. By faith, we believe God's word. By faith, we believe God's promises. By faith, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. By faith, we trust in the eternal life that God has promised to us. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we read this. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, before I was a believer, I did not understand that this was God's word. I didn't understand that these were God's promises to me. And I certainly didn't know and understand the divine love of God. Steve was after what Steve wanted. And Steve would be kind to those that could give Steve something. And Steve would love those who would love him in return. And when they stopped loving him in return, that's it. Right? Because Steve was all about Steve. Okay? But once the Holy Spirit indwells us, we understand that He is from God, and He then gives us understanding of who God is, who the Son of God is, who the Spirit of God is. And He gives us an appreciation, understanding for the gifts that God has given us. Amen? It changes our lives. And it starts by receiving these things as from God Himself. Recognizing that God is going to give us good and perfect things. Amen? Second, we are to receive these gifts and we are to live according to these gifts and give God thanks for them. We receive those gifts, but those gifts then communicate to us what God desires for us. And we are then to respond by living accordingly. Jesus did not shed his blood for me so that I would continue in my sinful state. Jesus did not shed his blood for me and die upon the cross for me to continue living my life just as I had before. No. So, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." God wants us now to live according to his word, according to his promises. Now that he has caused us to be born again, he has given us eternal life in Christ, he's filled us with his Spirit, now we can look into his word and the Spirit gives us understanding, and we now know that we were not created for ourselves. We were not created to do whatever we please. We were created to glorify God. Amen? And as we apprehend that, it should apprehend us. So that now our goal, our desire, is to live our life in such a way that we please and glorify our Heavenly Father. God gave us these good and perfect gifts so we could glorify him. That's our purpose here on earth. Not to build a kingdom for ourselves, but to work on building his kingdom for him. We should therefore live our lives to please and glorify him. And this includes abounding in thanksgiving, or overflowing with gratitude. That should describe all of God's people. Now again, honestly, this was convicting for me. Am I thankful? Yes. Am I thankful? Of course. But overflowing with thanksgiving, overflowing with gratitude to God, I got to be honest. Sometimes I think I just take it for granted. These wonderful, marvelous, perfect gifts that God has given me. And I fail to be overflowing with gratitude to my Heavenly Father. But that's what he wants. He is worthy of our worship. Amen. He is worthy of our thanks. He is worthy of our praise. And he has saved us so that we might glorify him. So we must receive these gifts by faith. We are to live according to these gifts and give thanks to God for them. And third, we are to use these gifts we have been given to serve others to the glory of God. Every one of us who have experienced salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ and have been filled with his Spirit, we now are to use these gifts in ministering to others. And this is exactly what Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We read these words, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, in the context here, Peter is talking about spiritual gifts, which come from where? God, right? And those that have spiritual gifts because they have believed in and received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They've received that gift of Jesus Christ. They have trusted in Christ for their salvation. They've received the gift of salvation and eternal life. They've been filled with the Spirit of God. They've received God's Spirit. And now they have these gifts that God has given to them, And the purpose is not simply to keep it to ourselves, not to put it on a shelf, not to stick it in the garage, but to share it with others for God's glory. That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Because to Him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Again, convicting for me. Because, and here's why I say that. Because, again, being a sinner, saved by grace, praise be to God, but still wrestling with this sin nature, I like some of the glory for myself. Do I always do everything I do solely for God's glory? No. And I think if you're going to be honest, you have to say the same thing, right? That should be our motivation. We should do all that we do to the glory of God because He alone deserves that glory. Amen? But the reality is, as human beings, we like a little bit for ourselves, right? Thank God Jesus died for that sin as well, okay? That sin of pride, that sin of covetousness, okay? And I want us to remember that these gifts we've been given, the purpose for them, the purpose for our life, the purpose for our existence is to glorify God. Because there are so many things competing in this world for our attention, right? For our, the activities of our life. But God has given us the opportunity as His beloved children to glorify Him in whatever we do. Find a way to glorify Christ in whatever He gives you to do. God has given us good and perfect gifts so that we might in turn use those gifts in service to Him by serving one another to the praise of His glorious grace. Amen? So as we count down the days towards Christmas, and as you are in the process of buying and giving gifts to others, and receiving gifts from others, please allow those gifts to remind you of the gifts you've been given by our Heavenly Father. Those good and perfect gifts that are greater than anything this world has to offer. And as you look at those gifts accumulating under the tree, hopefully not like when I was a child, it was a little over the top. But as you see those gifts under the tree, might it stimulate you to give thanks to God for His gracious gifts to you and to be reminded that He gave those to you so that you could use them for His glory. I pray that you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this reminder this morning that the celebration of Christmas is a celebration of the greatest gift ever given, Your own Son. And truly every other gift that I named this morning flows out of that gift. Salvation flows out of Your Son. The Holy Spirit was sent to us by You and Your Son. Therefore, the gifts of the Spirit are ours, and the fruit of the Spirit is ours through Your Son. Father God, may we never grow tired of giving thanks to You for the great and glorious gifts You have given to us. And Father God, may we take these gifts that we've been given, and may we share them with others. May we use them in ministering to others, in loving others, in pouring out ourself in service to others, so that you might be glorified, so that your kingdom might be extended. Help us, Father God, to please and glorify you with the gifts you have given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve.